Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and you can't get a hold of anyone. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only six numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these six numbers,
785-833.
Transmitting across America.
Turn it up. This
is
Bobby
Ball
Show.
Let's go. Hey, welcome to Thursday Show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
All right, let's start with this one. What fictional character do you have beef with? If you had to think of one. What fictional character you have beef with? I can go first. Who's the guy that had all the rings, Mike? He was searching for all the rings, and the Avengers wanted to fight him. Thanos.
I
have beef with all the Avengers.
All of them?
Oh, not Thanos.
Yeah, no. Thanos was trying to make a tough decision for the world. It was like, the world survives, but we have to eliminate half the population, or the world dies slowly because you guys are too selfish. It's like overpopulation, overcrowding, and all the Avengers want to do is kill them. So I have beef with the Avengers.
All of them.
And some of them still didn't end up in the best place. Like, some people still died. Just in general. I have beef with the Avengers. That was me avoiding a spoiler real hard. Like, I took a hard cut there.
I think at this point, though.
But I think Thanos, although his decision you may not agree with, it is one that you could understand. Like,
not one I could make.
But you're not
a leader.
Well, I wasn't going to say that.
Look, if that's what it takes to be a leader, you're right.
Very difficult decisions.
I can make some difficult decisions and set boundaries and work on my mental health and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
But I just don't think I could make a tough decision like that.
It's like going, having to decide. Imagine a president's having to decide to go to war.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Because, people are going to die. It sucks. Oof. But it's, do we go to war and possibly risk life, or do we not go to war and lose more lives because we're just sitting there letting it happen? So I have beef with all the Avengers for being stupid. My dude Thanos just chilling, grew up hard, had to make a decision to keep Earth going, and that was it.
Is that Earth?
I don't know.
That's a different planet.
But he's not fictional. I'm just watching it on
Thanos?
Apple right
no,
now.
No, he's fictional.
No, not Thanos, but Booth in the show Manhunt.
Yeah, John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah,
I
have beef with him right now.
Well, yeah, he killed Abe Lincoln. That was a real one.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I get that he's not fictional, but his character is just really getting on my nerves.
Yeah,
and I don't know if that's what he was actually like. Like, he's just so full of himself.
Well, he was a famous actor.
Yeah.
I think he probably was. That sucked.
Yeah, but
he sucked.
Did it, and then afterwards, the conversation he's having with his little guy.
That's a
person.
Real person. We can get back to historical figures you have beef with.
And are you spoiling anything, Amy?
No.
Hey, okay. I think by now.
Abe Lincoln was killed.
By John Wilkes Booth.
Mm-hmm.
But see, this stuff is fictional because they had to make up conversations he's having
fictional.
By a tree with somebody that nobody was there.
Like, that part of it they've had to create. But that's not fictional. He did what he did.
But his
okay,
character.
Moving on, Amy. Thank you. That's a real person. John Wilkes Booth's a real person.
Dude, I don't have a fictional character that I beef with.
Eeyore. Like, be happier, bro. Pick one of those. Eeyore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Eddie.
Coco. That's my story.
Stop.
That's me.
Oh, your beef is they stole your story.
Yeah. Coco stole my story.
I think
I was a little Mexican
only
kid.
Only the Mexican kid part. Because that's my story other than that.
No,
my grandma raised me.
No, dude. Mexican kid plays the guitar. Hi, Grandma Coco. Like, that's me, dude. That's how I used to talk to my grandparents and everything.
You used to call them.
And then my parents would get so mad when I would go and run away, you know, like go to the plaza and stuff to go see people. And
what?
You'd go run away.
Okay, I'm making that part up.
Yeah, you know, you're stealing that. Okay. Yeah.
That wasn't me.
Lunchbox.
Shaq.
Who?
Shaq.
Who?
Exactly. Not real.
Who?
Shaq.
O'Neal?
Yeah.
Like, he's a real person.
That's a real person.
No, no.
Shaquille O'Neal.
He's a plant. Like all the kindness and stuff, that's not real. So when he does, that's not real.
So you're saying all the good things he does, that's fictional.
So it makes him a fictional.
But he's real.
Yes. I guess, but I'm going to say Shaq.
I don't think they're getting the whole question.
It doesn't matter.
No, I mean, we get it. I just don't. I can't think of any fictional character that I have beef with. Like,
Robin Hood? It's like, bro, that's capitalism.
But Robin Hood really happened.
No,
I don't know who Robin Hood
was. Robin Hood was that Nottingham. That it's near London. He was there.
Look up Nottingham.
Look
it
up.
Is that real?
Look up Robin Hood, Nottingham.
Right. Robin Hood was probably based very roughly, but even then, Robin Hood stole from the rich and gave to the poor. There is no single person in historical record.
Can you look up Nottingham?
No. Listen, and because Robin Hood. Hunter and the other 19th century historians discovered many different records attached to the name Robin Hood, most scholars came to agree there was no single person in the historical record who inspired the popular stories.
What about in Nottingham? I was just reading about it the other day.
You were?
Yeah.
Well, why'd you start doing that?
It's not true.
Okay,
Robin Hood is a legendary heroic outlaw originally depicted in English folklore and subsequently featured in literature, theater, and cinema. Huh. According to the legend, he was highly skilled as an archer and a swordsman. Nottingham's famous outlaw is legend.
Wow.
Is Robin Hood from Nottingham? Nottingham's famous outlaw is truly legend.
Truly legend, wow.
That's not what you read,
we need
though,
NPR
huh?
to fact check this show sometimes.
No, I mean, that's interesting.
You were going to fight us on that, too, I could tell.
Well, because I had
she
read
just fired
that
up
about
Robin Hood being real.
I thought he was. I really did. I thought he was somebody that stole from the rich and gave to the poor.
He was in fiction.
In Nottingham. It's so weird. I did just read that last week.
Okay, I got one.
Go ahead.
What?
Nate from Ted Lasso.
Which one's Nate? The
he's the kid?
Wonder Kid.
What about him?
So in the first season, he's the kid.
He's like the water boy.
Got it.
Yep.
Why him?
Spoiling. Yeah, I'm not going to spoil.
Okay.
His actions.
Is he real?
Is he real?
Yeah, you should dedicate yourself to him being real. You read it on the internet.
Yeah, he's real.
Shut
true
up.
Story.
He's from Nottingham.
Shut up.
Check him out.
I really did.
All right, we're good. Let's open up the mailbag.
You send an email and we read it on the air. It's something we call Bobby's Mailbag. Yeah.
Hello, Bobby Bones. I found out through the grapevine that my sister's boyfriend may be planning to pop the question. The problem is his proposal plan sounds like a disaster and it's not her style. I 100% know she's going to be disappointed. Might even get upset if he corners her with this horrible idea of a proposal. Should I tell her and risk ruining the surprise? Or should I say something to him or just keep quiet? Is it ever okay to interfere like this? Signed, Sister to the Rescue. So initially the thought is let them be, leave it alone. The only time you would never not leave it alone if it's somebody super, super close to you, the only time you would ever even consider not leaving it alone. We always say stay out of the chili. Unless it's somebody super close to you, then you just have to evaluate. And I'm not evaluating that she should jump in, but because it is a sister and it is so closely known, I think it deserves at least, should we make sure that this is not a bad experience?
Let him do his thing.
Oh, what? No, talk to the sister.
No, talk to him.
Or yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, don't ruin it.
Yeah. Don't talk to the sister.
Wait, Eddie, you can't change sides.
No. I'm saying let the guy do his thing.
No.
I'm saying don't tell the sister because you'll ruin the
proposal.
Don't
tell the sister. We're removing that one completely.
Yeah, don't do that.
I know that you're doing it for the love of your sister.
Right.
So, but you don't need to tell her because you want her to still experience the surprise.
Tell the guy.
Now, you heard it through the grapevine. Unless that grapevine is you digging into somebody's phone and finding out how you shouldn't, you can always blame what you heard on somebody else. So if you really feel like you need to get involved, and if it's so bad, I think it's okay as long as your sister doesn't find out. You can go to Mr. Grapevine and be like, hey, I don't know if it's true, but I hear you're going to propose. And it doesn't even have to be like so negative at first. Like, I know they shouldn't have said, but they did. Like, what's the plan? Let him tell you, like, oh, and it's going to be awkward because he's not going to like the fact that you're going to go, I don't think she would like that. However, sometimes the uncomfortability pays dividends later. So you could say, listen, I know you're doing your thing. That's super awesome. She hates mayonnaise. So the fact that you're going to propose and pull the mayonnaise, it sounds terrible. It could be, and that's not going to be it probably.
But
that'd be cool.
I think you could do that to the to him, make it better all around without being somebody who's being intrusive for the sake of it. Because you're not. You're doing it for the love of somebody else.
Yeah.
And at least if you're wrong, you were wrong with great intentions. So my, if it's so bad, I think you can go to him.
Yeah.
Unless you found out in a way that you don't want to be known you found out. So that's what I say. You don't.
No, man. It's a proposal. It's their proposal. Even if it's bad, even if it's like, oh my gosh, it's a story to tell for the rest of their life. Oh my God, his proposal was so bad. He did this. Like, let it happen. This is their life, not yours.
Well, it is. Their sister.
Yeah, she's not getting married.
It's their life. It's their sister. You, like, don't press it, but you can still be like, hey, this would be really
Lunchbox,
special.
Lunchbox, get out of there, Chili. I mean, you should just be happy your sister found a dude that wants to get down on one knee and propose and spend the rest of his life with her. And maybe it is special to them. Maybe they did something at that place or they have an inside joke that you don't know about. So none of your business. Leave it alone. Let him do his engagement. He is putting thought into it, and that's all she should care about. Sister, kick rocks.
Man, I'm with him.
I would think if it were a close sister, any sort of inside joke, I think I his sister knows as well as it.
Yeah.
Like when I was going to, because my wife did not know I was proposing, I needed a bit of somebody to come in and help me, and I would call Amy, like, Amy, look at this ring. Wait, da da da. I think sometimes you just basically. No,
but you had the foresight to seek out help. This guy doesn't seem like he is.
The point is, sometimes.
Hey, you don't know him.
Okay, you guys don't even know him either.
Yeah.
So those two say leave it completely alone.
Leave it.
Amy and I say that if you feel like you need to, because it could be so bad, do not go to her and in no way let her find out, because this is about her being surprised, but you can let him know.
Right.
Gosh, I want an update on all this.
I want updates on half of these. They never email me back.
I know it.
All right, that's the mailbag. Thank you.
We got your email and we read it on the air. Now it's time to close Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
Go.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Chase Matthew.
Chase, you look like me if I were like taller and better looking and had been in the deer stand about 4 more years. Like total.
Wow.
And younger. But doesn't he kind of look like his face look like me with the glasses?
Yeah, he looks like you. Like y'all could be brothers.
Yeah. Like I have, I do have a half brother. Looks just like him.
Really?
And your nose is a little similar.
Yeah. Are we?
What is? You might be my dad.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up right here in Nashville.
Okay. And can I be? How old are you?
26.
So,
did your parents ever go to Arkansas at all?
I couldn't. No, I couldn't be.
Probably.
Well, your mom in particular.
I couldn't be. Touring musicians. Yeah. That would be too young. I'd have to be like 17 to be his dad. I guess that could happen. My biological father had me when I was 17. It's a weird conversation. Chase, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, too. Yeah.
How tall are you?
I am 6'2", but with my lift kit on, probably 6'5". So.
Those are his boots.
Yeah,
he came in. Yeah. We were doing the show, and he came in through the guest door, which we can see. And he threw his arms up real quick. I thought there was like a fire or something. He was just happy to be here.
Oh hell yeah! I'm glad to be here. This is sick. This is so cool. It's a dream come true for real. Thank y'all for having me.
So you grew up in Nashville?
Yes, sir.
So most people that grow up in Nashville have either family that's in the music business because the business is here, or they don't want anything to do with music. What's your version of that story?
All right, throw the leg up for this one. So I come from a musical family. So my mom and my dad kind of like, you know, did the whole music thing.
What does that mean, did the music thing?
Dad played Printer's Alley for a few years. My mom did like Broadway style shows, Patsy Cline impersonations.
Cool.
She's a hell of a singer too. And and my grandparents, like I grew up in church playing in church and stuff. I actually played drums before I ever like become an artist. So, but once I, you know, started diving into that, I kind of found my own lane. I thought that like, I thought every state had a Nashville, like every state had a Broadway. And growing up here, you know, you don't realize what you got at your fingertips. So I was grateful to be here, man. And I know a lot of people weren't. So.
What were you like in high school? What were you, the music kid? When did it start to be musical for you?
I was the dork. I was the dork in high school. I had the glasses. I was probably wearing skinny jeans that were way too tight for me. And
why do you wear glasses?
Because I'm blind as
So I can't wear contacts because my right eye doesn't work. So it wouldn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
So
I tried
contacts.
I tried. It's actually a funny story. The other, like probably 3 weeks ago, I got this crazy hair because I had to go get some more glasses. I like to buy like multiple pairs. So in case I break one, you know, I got an extra pair. Well, they were like, you know, would you like try contacts for free? Well, last time I tried contacts, I was like 11 and I couldn't get one out of my eye. Oh. And I like freaked out because I didn't want anybody touching my eye.
Yeah.
basically I just had the same thing happen, but I was 26 this time.
Wait, so you did it? You tried it again?
Hell yeah. And I was on the bus. We were headed to a show. I made him pull the whole bus over to try to get these contacts out of my eyes, but we finally got them. And yeah, I felt like my face was bleeding when
so
it was
no
over
more.
With. But no contacts, man. I'm keeping these bifocals on. So
Chase is playing our iHeart Country Festival in Austin on May 4th. He's playing the daytime stage, which is a big deal. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. And then are you going out with Luke or are you going out with Jason?
Both. Yeah, both. We announced Jason
that?
First and we
Okay, all right, good.
Yeah.
So you're doing shows with both those guys?
Yeah, yeah, I'm really excited.
How'd you get on those tours? Do you know those guys?
Man, I actually met Jason the same night I met you at the ACM like after party, which I know was brief, so I don't know if you remember it, but yeah, and I think we were all probably drinking a little bit too.
Bones, you went to an after party?
There was like the thing at the ACM.
I had to walk through. What he's saying is I walked through an after party so I could get out and go to bed.
That sounds more
Yeah. He was getting bugged. I was one of those people.
No, I wasn't bugged, but I worked. You know, it was Garth and Dolly, and then I was backstage doing all the stuff. But to get out, you had to walk through the people. And so that was my after party,
walking through. He wasn't partying at the after party.
No.
I was walking.
For
30 seconds, I was walking. I'm just curious because Lunchbox had you and had interviewed you. You had talked about the jobs that you had had prior to doing music full time. When you were working on cars or you're a mechanic, were you also doing music like in the evenings and on weekends, or did you just flip over at some point?
It actually started with like really horrible covers, like, you know, like Justin
that's
Bieber
everybody.
And
Adele, yeah,
and you name it. But yeah, when I started working, my job was I was an ATV mechanic. So my boss was really cool. He kind of like helped me, loan me money and let me work it off against my paychecks, you know. And
so you would do that really while blessed. You were doing music?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so I've been doing it now probably full time for like 3 years. So
you're still music though.
Yeah, but full time music. So like I was still doing my job 3 years ago and doing the music thing. So really just working enough to barely survive off ramen noodles and rent my bedroom I was renting and put the rest into music.
What happened? What was the moment or what was the event that allowed you to quit doing music and actually go? I mean, not music. What allowed you to actually quit being a mechanic and go, I'm just going to focus on music? Because that's a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. So I wasn't like a big believer in like social media and like finding your career. Like I kind of like, again, growing up in a musical family, it was always, you know, guerrilla marketing. You had to go out, you had to sell the tapes and the CDs. And, you know, that's kind of like what I was raised to think. But so I didn't really believe in the social media thing for the longest time. And I posted a video, and because my manager told me, he's like, look, man, dude, like you got to post something on TikTok. Like everybody's blowing up on TikTok. And I did it. I went to work and I came back home and it had like 750,000 views. Most views I've ever seen on anything. I've
like that. Just
yeah. Wait. Boom. Overnight. And, all my friends are calling me like the next day, like, dude, you're going viral. Oh my God. Like, you know, don't forget about us. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's like one video. It's going to go viral.
What song
like,
did you do on?
It was County Line. And, wrote that song like sitting in my bedroom by myself, and about a real situation, a girl I fell in love with. It was a bartender outside of Nashville, and shout out to her for the inspiration. It's my first platinum record now, so that's cool. We got a plaque to look at that. And
does she know that she inspired that song?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, did you want her to know?
Too many Easter eggs. Yeah. Is yeah.
Easter, not even hidden. They're just out there in purple and yellow Easter eggs. You can just find who
yeah.
exactly.
Yeah, purple, yellow, some camouflage. But
so yeah. when that blows up, do you go, okay, well, we gotta be precious about doing the second one, or are you just like, screw it, I'm going in, and if some hit and some don't, whatever?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd say I had a lot of songs stacked up because I couldn't really afford the production like in the studio. And when I partnered with my manager, he like really helped me, you know, kind of get the budget together, and we started putting out more songs. When that blew up, it showed that people were more interested, and you know, we started growing an actual fan base rather than just around town fan base. And so that changed a lot. And man, to see the flip, the transition of like people that became diehard fans too because of that song, they definitely translated into like the next songs too. So it was really cool. I feel like we built a fan base early on that was like diehard.
You know? How did you make enough money to support yourself if you're quitting your full-time job to do music? Because there are just a few videos from TikTok that have hit.
Well, that's what's cool, because the songs, the video views on TikTok translated into real streams. I feel like the people followed through, and which is something that seems really hard to kind of acquire. You know, like there's a, I feel like it's easy to make a video go viral, but to make a song go viral is really seems like a tough thing to do. And for some reason, I hit it out of the park the first time, and I don't even, you know, play baseball. So that's crazy, you know?
It's interesting to me, just kind of the different skills that you have, because again, you had to like have a real job until you were able to do music, which again, you, it's risky to quit a real job to pursue something in any art, because there's nothing in art that's for sure, right?
Yeah.
You're creating and just hoping that, that it stays up. When did you first get like a look from, because you have a, you had a manager, but like a label or or an, or another artist that reached out and they were like, dude, that's legit. Like, when did that happen?
Yeah, so there's an artist by the name of Ryan Upchurch. He's a local Nashville native and like badass country music, like country rap artist. And him and my manager partnered and started a label and like signed me. And that's kind of where the budget came from to build everything. Did a few shows with him, finished my contract with Holler Boy Records, which was that establishment, and then moved over to Warner. So now I have a JV at Warner. And so like that was even more songs getting released, and then came with radio play and everything else too. So
has it just been wild? Like you, you can't kind of believe it's all happened, but at the same time you can believe because you put it in the work.
Yeah.
But still, it all just came from you not even wanting to post a video.
Yeah, it is gnarly. I mean, the my manager I'm telling you about is literally that big dude standing right there inside that window. And we call him Snap. Everybody knows him as Lloyd, but Big Snap. And I mean, he's been with me since day one. He's known me since I was 15, 16, running around in a Jeep with no tags in Nashville and, you know, trying to show him demos that I've written that were just really bad, but eventually we figured it out and we're getting somewhere. So
if your bus broke down, could you fix it?
Oh, I've done that. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like physically fix it himself because he's
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I got a video. I could probably find it if you wanted me to show you. I was up underneath. So we bought, I bought my first bus. I believe like ownership is the only ship, right? So I leased a bus for a long time and I was like, this just doesn't make sense financially to me for how much we tour. And so I bought a bus and the first run that we took it out on, we went to like New York and then we like made it all the way up there, did three shows on the way all the way up. And I was like, Lord, if we make it all the way to New York with no issues, I'll be fine. If we have issues on the way back, fine. You know, that's fine. I think it was like 420 like last year. And so, you know, what comes with 420. And so we had just sparked up in the back of the bus. The next thing I know, there was problems happening. So I'm underneath the bus trying to figure that out. And it's like 3 o'clock in the morning off an exit ramp. Our air system, so the bus has like a self-leveling air system and it has like a little bubble like you would see like on a level when if you're building something. And the whole driver's side of the bus, the front was just like ducking. Like it would not air up. And you have to be aired up to go down the road because if you're not, then you're just riding on bump stops. And we could air it up for long enough that I could get under it. And so they aired it up on the side of the road and then cut the bus off, like bus off really fast. I crawled up under there before it aired down. So I'm under the bus while it's aired down. Like the cross member is like just like
right on you.
Like I'm we're sitting on an exit ramp. Like
every part of this feels dangerous, by the way.
Oh,
the exit ramp, the bus on
Are
your chest.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. I was ready to die if I had to. I was right with the Lord at that point. But they cut it off. I found the air leak. I literally like popped it off, cut the piece off of the it was kind of like, I don't know what kind of air hose it is. It's kind of like PEX, but like popped it off, cut it off, put it back in, and it was fine until we got back to Nashville. Put some duct tape around it, literally like something you would see some Joe Dirt stuff.
Dang, that's but cool. I can do nothing like that. I have no skill at all that's has a parallel, like none.
Well,
I can't fix
poor
anything.
Boy's got poor boy ways, man. We've had a lot of Chinese four-wheelers and broken lawnmowers that we had to fix over the days. So
you have no you're extremely at a level of masculinity that I know I'm older than you. And
masculinity.
Yeah, dude. You're that's like.
Thank you. That's a compliment. I'll
like
take that.
Fixing crap, you know? Sweet. Tattoos and fixing crap.
I need to get in the gym, so I'll take that.
Yeah,
feels good.
We're going to play Love You Again. So, I don't know. You wrote this with Casey Brown and Taylor Phillips.
Yeah.
The song's doing really well. It's really starting to pick up on a different, like, mainstream level. Like, bigger audience is hearing it every day. So, I don't know, when you write this song, were you pursuing any type of, like, we're going to go write up, we're going to write mid, we're going to write up, we're going to write a sad. Like, how did this come out?
I'd say it was a day where it was actually the first time me and Taylor Phillips had wrote, and we walked into the room. He kind of was like, had this like melody, and we just laid it down and like wrote the whole song, literally no joke, like 20 minutes, and wrote it, recorded the demo right there. And mainly the demo is what became the record. And so it
just fell out.
Yeah. We basically just mixed and mastered it. Austin Sean did a little bit of tweaking on it and took it all the way to radio. And that's crazy to even say, but yeah, it came out fast and we jammed it. I mean, I think we played it probably 100 times the first day when we left with it and just knew that like there was something special about that one.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and you can't get a hold of anyone. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Want to say thanks for everybody who has helped with St. Jude. I mean, you guys are changing lives. You guys are saving lives. St. Jude has been leading the way to the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of cancer. And I'm talking about childhood cancer. Your support actually means that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food. So the parents can focus on being a parent and helping their kid live. You know, I never had cancer, but I was in the hospital as a kid for a long time. And I just remember how difficult it was, how scary it was. And then I remember getting out and having to figure out how to pay the bill. I didn't have to pay it, but you know, somebody did. But St. Jude eliminates a lot of that. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in Hope. You'll get an awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join the doctors, the researchers. Hey, join me in this fight and visit musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org.
Go! On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Chase Matthew.
I'm just so interested. Like, I have a Bronco, and it's a 73.
Oh, yeah.
It's the cool body style, one of the last years.
Yeah, yeah.
It won't start, and so I gave up. I haven't even been back to it.
I mean, does it do anything when you hit the key?
The first time it went. And then the second time it went. Like half of what it did the first time.
Dead battery, yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Sure. It's just sitting there. It's just doing
it sounds like it's trying to turn over if you come back
no,
later.
No, I'm letting it die. I'm never going back to it again. It's broken forever.
Okay. Yeah, can I buy it? I want it.
So I need your assistance because Ray has a truck and it leaks oil and he gets messages from our building going, whoever drives the SUV that has an oil spill, stop. So, Ray, what year's your truck?
2005.
And it's a what?
Trailblazer, Chevy Trailblazer. They don't even really make them anymore. I mean, they kind of went out about 5 years ago, I think.
Yeah, you said an 05?
Yeah.
Is it a 6-cylinder?
Yeah, no, it's actually 4, and I got it murdered out, though.
Wait, so, 4? So you went down. You made it sound like it was going to be more. He was like, no, man, it's actually 4. Yeah. It's like tricky. We like that.
I didn't know they put 4-cylinders in those. I thought it was a probably like a 42.
You're right. Supercharged is like 7 cylinders, right?
7?
Oh my God.
There wouldn't be I don't think that number. One exists.
Yeah.
I think that one, yeah, that's some Fortnite. 7.
So when like his oil is leaking out of his truck.
Yeah.
What probably is that if you were just guessing by not even looking at
it? Yeah, I mean, it's got some kind of orifice that it's coming out
like there's a hole somewhere.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's probably some gaskets or something. Who knows? It could be valve cover gasket.
You think it's connected to like the wipers because the windshield wipers, the actual wipers? Motors haven't worked in about 5 years.
So the windshield wipers just a fuse or something. Yeah.
Windshield wipers are broke.
Right. Well, and then also the locks on the door. So the only way I can do it, none of the locks. If I put my key in it, there's no actual lock in the door.
Oh, that's a pain in the
wait. But is there a thing to put your key?
No.
Oh, so that whole thing, that it's out.
It's in there, but when you put it in, it like won't unlock the car. So there's no way to lock my car.
Oh, wow.
Well, you just told everyone that. That's awesome.
That's great.
I think they'll see all 7 cylinders and be like, that ain't for me.
Yeah, 7 cylinders.
You know, it's a confusing car to steal.
It's broken.
Yeah. When Ray says his Blazer is murdered out, it's just a black blazer.
It's like, literally just black. There's nothing else.
There's
extra
no
black,
black rims. There's no black. Like the tires are black, but everybody's are, and black paint.
Are you still like a car? Are you still a car guy? Do you still love cars?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've got a cool collection that I've kind of acquired over the years. Most of them are like sentimental and have like a story behind them, and that's why, you know, I don't really just like go buy cars because I think they look cool, but most of the time I like, you know, I feel like I build a relationship with them, or they have a reason they were in a music video, or vice versa, something like that. But
do you have somebody that you trust that we could send rate, like the guy that was your boss? I don't know. I mean, yeah. It doesn't matter who it is, but just somebody that you would trust that we could send Ray's truck to and they could like fix the little stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's just little stuff, I mean, I could, I mean, even if it's an engine, I could do it.
Yeah!
I feel like that's... Hey, bring it over. I'm like 20 minutes from here.
Ray, will you let him have your truck?
Absolutely, dude.
I'm serious. I'll do it.
Like, dude, get those window wipers rocking before the next rainstorm comes through. Yeah.
My favorite, yeah. Ray thought the oil leak was because the windshield wipers.
Right, right.
That's great. Yeah, because I had seven cylinders.
Yeah.
Right. That's phenomenal.
So phenomenal. Let's do that then. And that'd be fun. We'll make some content out of it.
Okay. Does Chase have time for this?
Not really, but I'll make time. I think it's cool. That's cool. I mean, I hate those Trailblazers, but I'll fix it. Yeah, we can make that happen.
Yeah!
We can do that.
And you should have them sign the back.
Yeah, for sure. I already got bumper stickers.
How about
less
I just
stress,
like
more life.
Wrap it, like wrap the whole thing in your face like 1,000 times.
So. All Ray's face?
What if I just bring
it
back?
Can you wrap a car?
Different?
You know how to wrap a car?
I've never wrapped a car, but I mean, it's just vinyl and a heat gun, really.
Duh, Amy.
Yeah, right. And cylinders and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, duh. It's nine. It takes 9 cylinders to run that gun, though.
So when he says it versus when you say it, it doesn't sound the same, but...
Yeah, Chase knows. He sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, I don't. I'm absolutely clueless.
I know. The thing is, though, I feel like y'all grew up... Well, he said you grew up...
He grew up
like,
with cars. Cool. I'm not sure what his animal... I can clean an animal pretty quick.
Okay.
I don't know if you can. I don't know. Everybody, all poor people were raised differently, right? We all learn different skills.
Yeah, I'm not a big hunter. I mean, I've been hunting many times, but I'm not a big...
So that's what it is. Yeah, Bobby can clean an animal.
Yeah, I mean, not anymore.
Fish, but you could.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
No problem. I'll clean you.
Obviously.
Come here. Okay, look.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So, Ray, when he gets time, we should actually let him do this.
Yeah, and passenger side door, too. It doesn't close.
Jesus Christ. Starts adding more stuff on it.
Start making my Amazon orders going to get long right now.
Chase Jesus Matthews here. Christ. Our Straight Talk wireless question. So, as your career continues to grow, like, who tells it to you straight? Like, who, if it's new music, if it's... Hey man, maybe you shouldn't put that song.
Chase, this sucks, kind of thing.
Basically, okay. Like, who gives you the straight talk?
Yeah, well, shout out Straight Talk because I think I still have a Straight Talk phone. That person's probably like my managers, and then when they tell me it sucks, I love to argue about how it doesn't suck. But yeah, I trust their opinion. And sometimes I'll send it to like other like my producer friends or something, like a song, and be like, "What do you think?" You know, and then. They'll either tell me if it sucks, and then I know it really sucks.
The great thing about having somebody that you trust to tell you that something isn't great is that when they tell you that something is really good, you can trust them.
Yeah.
Because there's a point when you start to have success where everybody just wants to be around you or be connected to your success.
The yes man.
Yeah, and so everybody's like, oh, everything's awesome. But it's the people that will be like, hey, I don't think this is your best work, that maybe – that's a value or maybe not at that point, but you know that when they say, hey, this is good, you can trust that because they're also not afraid to say, hey, that's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to surround yourself with those people in your life. If everyone's telling you yes, then they're lying to you.
Unless you're just really good.
Hmm. You know?
Unless you're just.
Or the size of your manager / bodyguard.
Yeah.
God dang.
Unless you're Himothy. Yeah, unless you're just Himothy.
How big's that dude?
He's big.
Yeah. What's up, buddy?
Hey, he's. I'm proud of him, man. That man shaved like 100 pounds this year already.
I'm talking about height more than anything. How tall? He's like 6'4".
Yeah.
I feel like he could lift up the bus and you just get on the thing.
He could probably lift the airplane up and take it to Bahamas. He just got back from Mexico like 2 days ago and didn't take me with him. I'm mad.
Chase, dude, it's really cool to see, you know, what's been happening and how you've been growing it, but also, you know, like creating a lot of this yourself.
Thank you.
Like doing it your own way. That's really cool. You guys... ChaseMatthew.com if you want to see, because he's doing the Luke tour and the Aldean tour and he's doing shows and he's playing the iHeart Country, the Daytime Village. So come out because it'll be Chase and Riley Green and Walker Hayes, Ashley Cook, Chris Lane. We'll see you in Austin.
Yeah.
That'll be super cool. And I don't know, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's the first of many times that we'll hang out in here.
I love that.
And anything else, guys?
No.
I'll say something.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say that this is really cool for me.
Well, thanks, man.
And if there's anybody listening, if we add this into here, I just want to say to anybody listening, believe in yourself, chase your dreams, because I used to sit in that garage working on ATVs listening to this on the radio. So this is really cool to, like,
thanks, man.
You know, come to work early and then listen to you guys and then, like, see myself here now. It's just, it goes to show God's real and he's got a plan and you got to trust it. So,
dang, I love that.
Love that.
Yeah. Well, he gave us a compliment. That's why you love
it. Yeah. The whole thing's
like,
great,
he's inspiring himself, but you guys really perked up when he's like, I listened.
That's
I got goosebumps. No, yeah. That's special.
It's real. It's real.
Yeah, like, no. And I like it. Chase is reminding us to chase our dreams.
What's your tattoo here?
This one. Wait. Which one?
Left arm, forearm. Out here. Yeah, three words. No, other side. Back of your, right there.
Oh, this. Born for this. Yeah, that's like my, kind of my life story. It's a long story, but born for this is like my slogan. You know, we're all born for something. Mm-hmm. We're all born to chase our dreams. And it's also the title track for my like first full length album. And it's something my dad told me. I auditioned to go to Nashville School of Arts, which I've never told anybody this. Well, I have just never said Nashville School of Arts, but I auditioned to go to Nashville School of Arts out of middle school. And it was like, I don't know what was up with the teacher that day, but he was just having a bad day. And to be as young as I was, you know, certain words kind of hit you a little different. And he was just having a bad day, I guess. And he was just like, yeah, you're not good enough, man. Like, you're wasting my time kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so me and my dad sat at the Sonic in his beat up old Dodge Caravan with no AC. It's just hot as hell to the start of summer. And he told me, he's like, son, you're born for this. Like, don't listen to what that guy has to say. And that, for some reason, stuck with me for so long. And it's become my slogan. It's become my saying. It's become our for lack of better words, it's what we live by. And a lot of my diehard fans and, like, really cool supporters, they all have the born for this tattoo. And most of the time, it's my handwriting. And it's just really cool. It's Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's kind of the backstory too, as well, of what we ride with on that, because Born for This, you'd have to watch the music video for Born for This to understand. But yeah, when I got my first music check, I went and bought my dad's old car back for him. Back in 2017, he lost it in a divorce. I feel like I'm rambling. I'm sorry.
You're good. No, listening.
We have time.
Awesome. I'd cut you off. Don't worry.
Okay. Yeah. So, 2017 was like a tough year for me in my life, and not to get like sappy, I'm not that guy. I don't want anyone feeling bad for me, but my dad went through a lot that year. I did too. I lost my best friend, a couple other things, but my dad had this car since he was 19 years old, and it's an old 65 Plymouth Satellite. He brought it down to Tennessee from New Mexico. We always had dreams of, like, fixing it up. Grew up watching automotive shows and restoration shows. And when he got his divorce, he kind of had to sell it. And I sold it for him because he was out of town. And watching that car leave on a rollback was really emotional, because we had all these dreams of fixing it up. And so when my manager told me, he's like, man, you're going to get your first music check. You know, I think it's time you can let your boss know you won't be showing up to work as often. I bought my dad's old car back. I went through like months of trying to track it down.
Dang.
And I found it, and we documented the whole thing. And filmed the whole thing and put it on YouTube in the music video for Born for This. So there's tons of footage of like my childhood, like riding motorcycles at like the age of six, and like just being a gearhead my whole life, and like always having a musical instrument around me or close to me or in my hands. And even like me at 3 years old getting my first guitar, and then at the end surprising my dad with his car. And it's just emotional. We're fixing it up now. It's sitting in my shop at the house.
I mean, that's a headliner. That's the closer right there, the story. It's like, oh, I'm not rambling. And we're like, please talk more.
It's awesome.
Okay. Yeah,
it's a great story. That's an awesome story, Chase.
I'll talk till my buck teeth fall out.
Well, you keep talking. I'm going to go to the bathroom. But listen, Chase Matthew, you guys follow him. I am Chase Matthew. iHeart Country Fest daytime stage. I'll see you there. That'd be awesome. Sir. Dude, I'm rooting for you. You don't need my rooting. You're killing it by yourself. But thanks for coming in and
thank you.
And hanging out, man. And Ray.
Thank you.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, this is like, oh, we'll hang out, or we'll go to dinner, or we'll fix your car. I don't know if he's really going to do it once he's leaving, but it was a fun talk, right?
Yeah, hey, sorry, dude. You're back in the garage, man. You got a car to fix.
Yeah.
No, I'm in there. I'm in there every day of the week like that. All I'm right. At home, so I enjoy it. It's actually like my thing to do. But I mean it. Like, you got my word. I'm a man of my word. So
All right, Chase. Good
don't
to
make
see
me put a motor in that thing, dude. Like in a week, it shows time. Up. That's gonna be hard.
It's cut off. I don't even know the thing. The hood's cut up. And there's a big one that comes. Like one of those engines. Flames are coming out of it.
Got a turbo LS hanging out.
Don't even know what that means. But I bet it's funny. Yeah. I bet turbo. I bet it's a funny reference. But I know nothing about cars. So turbo LS.
Turbo LS one. Yeah. Forged internals.
No, that's crazy. Hilarious. I have no idea. But I'll look it all up.
Built turbo 400.
400. That's a good number.
Yep, that's a good one.
Chase Matthew. Chase, we'll see you, buddy. There you go. Chase Matthew.
It's time for the good news.
With producer Eddie.
Tell me something good.
There's a family walking around in their Southern California neighborhood. It's a husband, wife, and a 2-year-old daughter. And they're just strolling and they look on the sidewalk and some of the walls and somebody graffitied swastikas all over the place.
Yeah.
Swastika there, swastika everywhere. So they're like, okay, we can't let this happen. This is our neighborhood. We got to clean this up. So they go home and they get some sidewalk chalk. And so they start drawing flowers, butterflies, hearts around the swastikas, and they write, "Love lives here," really big. And they did something really cool with something that was a really disturbing message.
Yeah.
And they made it pretty.
Yeah, I don't think they could all the way get it off, so they just drew around and on it, until somebody could actually
I think eventually
come.
The city will come and, like, what do they call that?
Power wash that?
Power wash that.
Yeah, good story. Good for them. Yeah, that's gross.
Like, why are people still doing that?
Probably people who don't even know. I would assume like idiot kids who've seen it but don't really know what it means.
Yeah.
Like don't know the real effect of it. Otherwise, like,
let's hope it's someone that doesn't know the real effect.
Let's hope.
That's what's up. Good story. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
New season, Elder versus Millennial. It's Lunchbox versus Abby. Let's go.
Whoa.
He's the champ. Up first, the captain of cringe. He says all he does is win. He has a scrawny physique, and being crowned prom king in school is when his life peaks. It's Lunchbox. Lunchbox, I will ask you trivia questions that Abby should know the answer to. So you're over wading in her water. Here we go. Number one. Lunchbox, what 2000s group sang the song Bills, 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 and Say My Name?
Say My Name.
Destiny's Child.
Correct. Give the guy a point.
Wow.
Lunchbox, in Mean Girls, which song did the Plastics dance to in the Winter Talent Show?
The one that they played over the sound system.
Mm-hmm. Which one was that specifically?
Yeah, it's called You Ain't One of Us.
You Ain't One of Us is incorrect. Abby, you can still. Did you ever watch Mean Girls?
Yeah, love that movie.
What song did they dance to in the Winter Talent Show?
Was it Jingle Bell Rock?
Yes.
Oh, let's go. Okay.
Abby steals. Abby steals.
Yeah, I've only seen that once.
Number three, Lunchbox.
Yeah.
What's the name of Lady Gaga's debut album that featured such songs as Just Dance, Poker Face, and Paparazzi?
Oh, man, I thought... You got me because I was going to say Poker Face, but that ain't going to be the name of the album if that's the name of the song. Paparazzi, Poker Face. I'll go Paparazzi.
Incorrect. Always a good guess, though, to guess the song title if you don't know, because that is a lot of times, but it's called Abby to Steal.
Is it Born This Way?
No, it's The Fame. Also a good guess. All right, let's go over. She's our phone screener and producer. She answers our phones when they're ringing, and her dream is to be on stage just to singing. It's Abby, everybody. Scores 1-1. Abby, you ready?
I think so.
These are questions that Lunchbox will know the answer to.
Okay.
Who won the Super Bowl in 1985, famously known for their Super Bowl Shuffle rap song? What team won the Super Bowl in 1985? And they're famously known for their Super Bowl Shuffle rap song.
Hold on. I'll go with the Patriots.
Incorrect. Lunchbox Steel?
Chicago Bears.
Correct.
Oh, what?
We're just here to do the Super Bowl Shuffle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
Abby. Who sang the hit song Super Freak in 1981?
Freaky, super freaky. Wow. What is it?
Who sang the hit song Super Freak in 1981?
Sing it.
Oh my God.
What's that one?
Abby?
Super Freak. I know, I'm thinking, I'm trying to think. Super Freak. I can't think of it. I can't think of it the same.
No answer. Lunchbox.
Rick James!
Correct.
Oh my God.
Yeah! Okay. We're losing viewership. The pay-per-view no longer is really awesome.
Thank you so much, Eddie.
I thought this was going to be the fight of the century. Abby and Lunchbox.
You did?
They're still 0-0.
What? You know I'm not good at trivia.
Let's do one more. Abby?
Yeah.
Which fitness guru was considered the queen of exercise videos during the 80s? She sold over 17 million copies worldwide of her exercise videos in the 80s. Who is it?
Mm. Was it Jane Fonda?
Yeah.
Oh.
3-2, but our winner with 1 point, champion Lunchbox. Here are the bad money habits that are hurting relationships. Oof. From Go Banking Rates. So mostly you can identify if you do this.
Yeah, if you want.
If you want, you can identify if anybody else does this in your family if you want, okay?
Okay.
But you don't have to identify anything if you don't want. Right. So here they are, the top bad money habits that people have that affects relationships. Using credit cards too much to buy things.
We buy everything on credit card.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
But the thing is too much.
Yeah.
You mean going past your limit? Not paying
if it affects the relationship, that would be, I guess, too much. I don't have that issue.
Yeah, I'd say no for us.
I don't use credit cards that much. I'm a debit guy because I feel weird.
Really?
I feel weird owing stuff.
You don't want the points?
But I don't care about the points. Dave Ramsey tells me, don't care about the points.
I know.
He does say that, yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
So I know.
That is not an issue in our family because I'm just a big debit guy. When I was poor, I had nothing. And then when I finally started making money, I didn't use any credit because I was afraid I'd have nothing again. So what I had, I wanted to have.
George Camel, who works with Dave Ramsey, was on my podcast. And I was telling him about my points and how amazing it is because I pay off my credit card, but I get all these points and I get free stuff. And he said, you are their ideal customer. There's cheese out and you're the rat and you're going to the cheese.
Wow,
and
we're the
like,
rats?
I'd have punched him right then. Talking about me like that.
Take that.
Don't call me a rat.
I mean, it makes sense because if you get in a position where you can't pay it off, then it's like, well, you get used to that lifestyle.
Number two, impulse shopping.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
But with
debit.
Okay, so it's not a problem.
No, but I look back on things and go, why did I even buy that?
Yeah.
So it's not problematic in the relationship. The only time it's problematic is when I've got 4 helmets at the front door in the mail that I've ordered by doing these breaks. My wife's like, you got 4 more helmets, huh? Where are they going to go? And it's not even about getting the helmets. I don't have any room for stuff anymore. But I'm definitely an impulse shopper.
Dude, I did that at the grocery store yesterday. I went in to pick up a couple of things, came out, $150.
That's just grocery store inflation, right? Unless you got a bunch of animal crackers.
No, no, no. I went in for one thing.
Were you hungry?
Yes. It was right after our workout.
You can't do that.
That's terrible.
Impulse shopping? Anybody have anything to add?
No, I don't impulse shop. I don't like to spend money. I'm too cheap.
Living beyond your means.
I would love to do that.
I wish.
Oh, so you would. But you don't then.
I know.
You could.
I don't. I mean, I can't. I can't. Like, they wouldn't give me the credit line to get a Lambo. I wouldn't be able to.
Oh, it's back on the Lamborghini.
Yeah, things like that. I can't live. I would love to fly private, but I can't.
How about not prioritizing savings?
That I do.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
It's like, I live like I'm dying.
We're like, why think then? Like, why think what's going to happen? Be ready for 10, 20 years from now when you can just live life now.
But what about if you'd been thinking 10 years ago about today?
I know. That's when I regret it.
I regret 10 years ago, not right now.
I'm a good saver.
Yeah, I'm getting better.
Yeah, I'm a good saver. Not creating a budget.
I don't do that.
Well, we know our budget. What's in our bank account?
Exactly.
Like, that's our budget.
You know what?
But it's like...
Ding, ding.
I feel that.
Like, what's the number in our bank account? Okay, that's our budget.
Yeah. I feel that. I don't have kids, so it's hard for me to go, like, we have... Because really, my wife and I, it's easy. It's two people. We have our habits. It's not like anyone's kind of like, we have school. We need this and that. I mean, that would be different.
I'm sure Eddie's wife has it down what they're spending on... You know, certain things for the kids, groceries.
But really, like, what do you have to buy your kids?
Clothes.
Yeah, clothes food. Or like field trips. I mean,
a budget sports. For birthday presents.
I get it, food.
Yeah.
Sports.
Yeah.
Healthcare. You have to go to the doctor.
Yeah, taking places. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Entertainment.
Pizza.
Oh my gosh, every Friday.
Okay, how about this one? Not investing.
I invest.
I did invest. I invested in a pallet.
Okay, no. Don't be dumb.
Don't.
We're not going to use our bits here.
What do you mean? That
was an investment. Outside of the show, because Lunchbox is even talking about investing into like an app we all put a little bit of money on. Does your wife ever say to you, why don't we invest something in order to have a future? Like 401k, for example. You guys do not do that.
No.
Yeah, but you want to retire tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, she had never brought it up.
Is it because it's a sore issue?
I don't know.
Not paying bills on time.
No, I do that.
No, we have to do that.
Worst thing that ever happened. Worst thing that happened to me was auto draft.
Oh.
I would never do it. Now it's set up, but I was like, what if I don't have the money and they try to take it?
Yeah. Is that when you go under? Like whenever, that's when you get in trouble?
Yep.
Or what if they say, oh, you know what I mean? We tried to take it, but and then they charge you a late fee. It's like, man, not cool. That auto draft is.
Do you ever get in trouble for that?
No, but I don't.
Like check bounce type thing?
No, in college all the time.
Not now?
No.
Because you stay within your budget, which is what's in your account?
Yeah,
I felt that. I felt that. What's the biggest money issue that you guys have that you argue about the most?
Should I say it?
It doesn't even have to be a big, it doesn't have to be a big fight, but what?
No, it's a big fight.
No, but I'm saying it can be anything. What would you say is the central issue relationship-wise with finances? Lunchbox.
Just percentage of things. Because things get more expensive, like groceries, and since we have separate accounts, it's like, well, you should still pay 40%. She's like, but that's more money because it's... So that's, I mean, it just figuring out the percentages of everything can be difficult if you don't just keep it the same, because things do get more expensive as...
That's weird.
I just need to picture how it goes for them. So Lunchbox, say you go to the grocery store and you pick up groceries for the week. Then you get out the receipt and you ask your wife for 40%.
Yeah, she transfers it.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Eddie, that's a do you marriage. Want to say yours? I don't know what it is.
I've been thinking about it, but I think I should. Because once I say it, I believe that every husband in America listening is going to go, uh-huh.
And golf.
If you roll the window down, you'll probably hear every husband go, uh-huh.
Okay.
Is that it?
No.
No.
Amazon. Amazon boxes outside my house every single time I go home. Every time I go home, Bones, there are 5 Amazon boxes outside my house.
What if stuff you need?
That's never stuff we need. Never.
Okay.
And I want to go into the phone and like just unsubscribe.
To Amazon altogether.
Delete it.
Yeah. I think the thing that we, and that I try to keep her from doing, her dad, her all our family stayed on the same phone plan. It's hilarious. So her dad still pays her phone bill.
That's crazy.
Oh.
And I begged him.
Lucky you.
I'm like, please don't. Well, it's not that big a deal.
Oh, she calls long distance?
There's no such thing.
Exactly.
There's no text
minutes. Hey, roaming charges?
But like all their kids are still on their phone plan. And she's like, we need to put it on ours so we can pay for it. And I just keep kicking the can. I never commit to anything. I just want to see how long I can keep it going.
That's amazing.
That he can keep paying her phone bill.
That's so cool.
It's hilarious. So that would be the one. She's like, hey, can we change it over and put it on our Yeah, we'll get to that tomorrow. Still, he's still paying for it.
What about all your spending on
memorabilia?
Memorabilia.
She doesn't care because, one, she has her own money, and two, I am extremely hyper careful with money because I never had it. And now that I have it, there's no chance I would overspend or even be reckless with it.
What do you mean she has her own money? Are you like Lunchbox?
No. But there's never a fight of like, she came into the marriage. She was like, had an awesome job.
Mm-hmm.
So she had been making money for a long time. So she brought, a good career bank account over where there was never an issue of, but no, we can't. I have combined accounts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I thought you were like Lunchbox.
No.
I thought you were about to high five me.
No. All right. Well, good luck, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Amy, do you have any addition? I know you're not in a relationship now, but anything?
Yeah, I don't argue with anybody about finances now.
You've learned them a lot the first time?
I wasn't involved in our finances for 17 years.
What about you, though, Amy? Like, is there something you do that you would argue with yourself
about? Well, now that I am in control of everything and I have information and information is power... Like, I'm more empowered to save more. I finally get sometimes what Ben was trying to say to me. Like, save more. So I'm not really shopping this year. Yeah.
Have saved?
It's like a kid when they have to spend their own money on shoes. They learn the value of money.
Exactly.
Or I've been earning money our entire marriage too. If you're not paying attention, then you're not, if you ignore it, then you can't make empowered decisions. And I was just a little bit, loosey goosey.
Yeah, you're empowered as crap now.
And now I'm empowered and it feels good. Like it feels good to know everything that's in,
knowledge
everything
is power.
That's out.
Everything that's in.
I feel good about my decisions.
Yeah, I choose not to know what's in and out.
But in general, I think you're like that.
Yeah, with anything.
It's like if you're like ill or sick or something's wrong, you're like, kind of like, I'd rather not go to the doctor.
Yeah, like, how's our show doing? I don't care. Who cares? Man. Don't even tell me.
You don't know. It's not bad.
Don't care.
Exactly. The Bobby
Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So if someone is really, really, really nice to you off the bat, like you're meeting them and they're just so nice that it turns you off.
Got it. They want their song played on the radio.
Oh.
Oh. So it's home? Like.
Oh, yeah. No, it's everybody. It's terrible. I don't trust anybody anymore. So I don't know. I have to remove myself from that conversation because I feel like somebody's always up to something.
Well, too nice can trigger a negative reaction in us romantically or platonically because psychologically we're like, wait, they're being overly nice. Now like, I'm
that's
suspicious.
Not normal. Right.
Mm-hmm. And so you question the sincerity of their actions.
And if it's an older man, they want their daughter or younger second wife song to be played on the radio.
Oh, man.
Oh, second wife.
You heard what I said, and I said what I said.
Okay.
I stand by it. Okay, what else?
So this is just a little PSA. A selfie with a cub bear might be really cute,
fun.
Right?
I would love it. I love the Cubs, too.
It'd be
baseball
so
team.
Cute.
Yeah,
so
come
cute.
Here, little cubby. Come here. I'm going to name you Mark Grace. Come here.
Last week, a group of women in North Carolina went viral. They were in Asheville, and there were some baby cubs, and they were trying to lure them to take a selfie. And now it sparked this whole thing of like, hey, don't feed the wildlife. Don't try to take selfies with wildlife.
Yeah.
Because what happened was one of the cubs ended up getting, I don't know, abandoned by his other cubs, his group. Like, who knows where the mom is? Which, speaking of, the mom may come and eat you.
Yeah.
But then the cub was kind of left, and a rescue center had to come in. And
did the cub, like, scratch or bite or anything?
No.
Just left by itself. Well, that was awesome.
Well, that's perfect.
No, it was
the cub around. Let's all take pictures.
But as a cub, it was wet. It was cold.
I know.
And so now there's just, you know, messages being put out of like, hey, if you're near wildlife, don't try to feed it to lure it to get a selfie. Because it could really mess up their situation.
But if you do, make sure they all come. Not just one.
Right.
But if they all come, guess who's coming behind them?
Mama.
Yeah.
And you're going to probably not have a head.
And that could mess up
Leave the
face.
Animals alone. Just generally, leave the animals alone.
But if you took a cub home and raised it, would it be a nice bear?
Probably
so
not.
Okay.
So cute, though.
Genetically, it's probably too close to that mother.
Hmm.
I'm sure some character traits of it, but I don't think I would ever trust it. It's too much wild bear.
After a while, nature kicks in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
Reba McEntire's show, Reba, it is coming to Netflix, which is super cool. So now you'll be able to watch that. But then something else that is going to start streaming actually tomorrow on Max is Beyonce's documentary of sorts. It's about Black history, country music, and it seems like it'd be really cool. So you got Beyonce's show on Max and Reba's show coming to Netflix on May 6th.
It's Reba's old show, Reba, right?
Yeah.
I'm doing something pretty cool with Reba that I can't talk about yet.
Ooh.
That's pretty cool because Reba's one of the best people in the whole world. She's awesome. So I'll be able to tell you pretty soon. But that's
like
all. I can't say what it is. Sign an NDA. Sign this.
Oh.
Sign this NDA. All right, thank you.
I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
This guy was flying in a single engine plane kind of over the ocean, kind of on the edge of the ocean. And he had his dog with them. And they started to lose control of the plane for whatever reason. The plane starts to go down and the plane crashes into the water. Again, single engine. So once that engine's gone, you can only really
glide.
Yeah, for so long. And so plane goes down a few hundred yards offshore, tried to get as close to shore as possible. But he grabs the dog and they swim out and they're safe. Him and the dog.
They swam back to shore?
Yes. Him and the dog.
Wow.
It's hard to swim in the ocean too, let's be honest.
Oh, it is currents.
But also, it's also hard to survive a plane crash, let's be honest.
It's a lot.
And also, it's hard to grab a dog in a plane crash in the ocean when you get it.
Yeah, all that.
I don't want to spoil the story, but I just did a podcast with someone who is in country music. They invited me on their podcast. I don't know when it comes out. And I don't guest on a lot of podcasts, but I thought, this is interesting. I'll go do it. They were in a plane crash. I've never heard them talk about the story before.
Really?
Yeah. And they were in a plane crash, and it was nighttime, and their plane was upside down, and they didn't know it because the gauge was broken. And since it's upside down, you can't see the land or anything.
What the crap?
Yeah. Is what? I could have sat and just talked about that for an hour, but I didn't want to hijack the podcast because it wasn't my show. I was being interviewed.
It was their podcast.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I always wonder that about going upside down. Like, I get the pie. There's you get disoriented and you don't know. Yeah.
Which well, at nighttime too, you can't see the ground.
Correct.
You can't see anything.
There's no horizon.
Yeah, but doesn't like the change fall out of your pocket and stuff?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know the difference. No, because you're going fast. You're going so fast. It's like a roller coaster. If you're just going, does the change fall out of your pocket if you're in motion?
Really?
No.
Well, that
like helps. If your cell phone's loose, that'll fall out.
Yeah.
But that's not the story. This guy survived. The dog survived. Right. Everybody's a winner except that piece of metal.
The plane.
And the insurance company that's got to buy the new plane. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.